Tonight I'll be preaching in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, as we continue in this very familiar and often referenced passage in the Word of God, speaking to this matter of missions, worldwide evangelization. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'll begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so much so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there first be first a willing mind," "it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your goodness, for your mercy, your grace, and your kindness towards us, and how you demonstrated that in coming to this earth as a babe and clothing yourself in human flesh so that you can identify with us and relate to us, and show your love to us in such a sacrificial way in giving your life on Calvary's cross. Lord, I pray that your sacrifice would resonate in all of our hearts, motivate us to love you more and go more and to do more. I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word, use it to challenge our hearts, and we'll be careful to give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. This matter of missions is something that it is so important to the life of a church. It should be important to the life of every single born-again believer, because it is the thrust of why we have this great salvation that we have. You see, we receive what we have not only because Jesus died on Calvary's cross, but because someone else thought it important enough to share this good news of the gospel so that we can be saved. Amen. I think of this matter of missions often because most of you, of course, would be familiar with my story and my family and how it turned and changed the direction of my life. Not as much from a place of living in sin, but in terms of, as it were, vocation, career, so to speak, and really the emphasis or the thrust of what I would be doing in life. It truly happened because of a greater emphasis and soul-searching attitude regarding how God could use me and my family in a greater capacity to see the gospel spread around the world. It's amazing when you understand what missions is all about and the emphasis to see a world reach with the gospel, how it touches your heart. When you recognize that what Jesus did on the cross was so sacrificial, it was the epitome of demonstrating love. No greater love than the fact that a man would lay down his life for his friend. And so when you think of what Jesus did on the cross, when you recognize how undeserving we are and were to receive this great gift, It gives you, as it were, a compulsion to think, what more can I do? What more can I give? How much more can I do? How can God use me to see people one? And no matter where we are in our Christian walk, no matter where we are in our level of spirituality, if you really ponder what Jesus did, it does something to your heart. Whether it's you were giving $1 a week, well, I may be doing my very best. But is it possible that somehow maybe I can find another dollar? Is it worth it to be able to do that for the sake of the cause of Christ? And so as we emphasize here on missions, I encourage each and every one of us to search our hearts and to recognize what Jesus did for us and the responsibility that he's placed on us to be able to see this great mission accomplished. And as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul speaks to this kind of desire, this kind of heart emphasis. Because as you hear me say time and time again, when God deals with us, he deals with us at a heart level. And so you would notice here, as he gave in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, first of all, the example of these churches of Macedonia, churches that were not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but because of God touching their hearts, they were, as we noted in verse number 3, willing of themselves. That shows that God touched their heart, and as a result, they got involved in giving to see the gospel spread around the world. Tonight, I want us to go a little further here, and we've seen the example in verses 1 to 6. Notice in verse number 7 through 9, the exhortation. So because the Apostle Paul emphasizes to this church of Corinth that these churches in Macedonia that were seemingly poor, they were spurred on by your example to do the same, he says, I'm now giving you an exhortation to fulfill what was already laid upon your heart. Notice the importance communicated in verse number 7. He says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us. You see, he was speaking to a church that had excelled in spiritual gifts. They were in a city that was considered financially and economically the top of the chain. They had a lot of things going on for them. And so he says, as much as you are abounding in all of these other areas, and even in your love to us, see that he abound in this grace also. What was he speaking of? What was this grace? This grace was the grace to be able to give. He says, this thing is as important as anything else that you do, to be able to give out of your abundance. Give by sacrificing. Give by grace. You see, one of the great things about missions that is truly a supernatural, spiritual effect is that every single person can be involved. There's no wrong way to give to missions. If you have it in your abundance, guess what? You can give out of your abundance. If you have to sacrifice, well, the sacrifice is more than worth it. Amen? When we think of the sacrifice that Jesus gave on Calvary's cross of giving his life, how could it be anything but appropriate to sacrifice? But let's say you might say, well, I don't have it. I can't find it. God, through his divine grace, can make it available. That's what happened. There's this example of these churches in Macedonia. They were in a great trial of affliction and in deep poverty, and yet they were willing of themselves and they gave beyond their power. That's the grace of God. And so the importance here is communicated to this church of Corinth. You are abounding in a lot of areas, but abound in this grace also. And notice in verse number 8, he gives what I call an interesting compulsion. He says, why am I encouraging you? Why am I exhorting you to do this? He says in verse number 8, I speak not by commandment. In other words, I'm not commanding you to do this. I'm not putting my foot down for you to give to missions. He says, but I speak by the occasion of the forwardness of others. In other words, he says, there are others who have been motivated by you. There are others who have far less than you, and they are involved in giving to this great cause of worldwide evangelization. Notice he says this, and to prove the what? Do we have our Bibles? To prove the what? The sincerity of your love. In other words, saying to them that if you love the Lord, you're going to have a desire to give for worldwide evangelization. Love is that powerful motivator that inspires us to give. You want to know what people love? Look at what they spend money on. You want to find out what you love? Look at what you spend money on. Wow. Amen. Some of you say, Pastor, the bank coming and they're taking all the money, and I don't have any choice. You know what? You signed up for it because you love it. It's just they're taking it after the fact. But what we love, we spend money on. What you love, you give to, and what you give to, you love. By the way, do you realize that even if you don't love something, but you find yourself giving a whole lot to it, after a while you start to love it? Because you say, listen, if I'm going to put this much in you, I better start loving it, and because now you know, value it. Because of all the effort, the money, and the time placed into it. And so when it comes to giving to missions, listen, you give, you're going to realize your love for God is going to increase. And if you love God, you're going to want to give to this cause. This is an interesting compulsion. And notice how he speaks of the love of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation, was compared. Look at verse number 9. He says, for ye know the grace of who? Our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became what? Poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. In other words, the Apostle Paul is giving the greatest example and demonstration of love ever given by pointing to what Jesus did in coming to this earth and suffering and bleeding and dying on Calvary's cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commended his love towards us. How did he show that? In that while we were what? Yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I have to admit, after you're saved for a while, sometimes we forgot who we were before salvation. Sometimes we look at ourselves all, you know, prim and proper, and we've gotten a few things right, and we are doing things well, and God has done a work in our hearts, and I mean we've graduated, and then we realize we seem to have forgotten that God did it. But when God took us, my friend, we were in the muck and mire, we were wretches, God did something, and he did something special in our lives. It's while we were sinners, Christ died for us. What a great example of love to point to. So he gives them this exhortation. And then notice in verse number 10, he provides what I call the expediency. The expediency. In other words, he says, I'm telling you this because, let me tell you something, it's going to be good for you. It's going to be beneficial for you. Notice in verse number 10, he says, herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. It's helpful. And my friend, understand, as we've mentioned this morning in the message, obedience to God brings blessings. We ought not just to be obedient to God because we figure blessings are going to come. We ought to be obedient to God because he is God. But when we are obedient to God, God in his mercy and grace, he blesses obedience. And so he says, this is going to be expedient for you. And the reason why it is expedient and why God provides his blessings is because when God observes a heart that is desirous of being involved in this cause that is near and dear to his heart, guess what? He's then obligated to provide the resources through us to make it happen. I know we have a number of individuals in our churches who are, our church, who are or were, maybe still are, or contemplating being involved in construction projects and primarily building homes. And I sympathize with individuals who have to do that because I know it's an extremely stressful process. It was an extremely stressful process in the construction of this church building. And it's an extremely stressful process in building and all the things that you have to navigate. And I've heard many horror stories and stories where you have contractors who take resources and use them to finance and furnish other construction. Man, that is despicable. I mean, can you imagine your hard-earned resources given to finance another project that is not yours? It seems unconscionable. But you think about the fact that God is going to be more than willing to finance and to furnish us with the resources to build his kingdom. So when you and I are engaged in building the kingdom of God, God says, I could trust that contractor. I can trust that individual because when I give them the resources, they're going to use it to build my kingdom. Such is the reason for God's blessings on those who are obedient to his will. My friend, God is not going to take his resources and furnish them and lavish you with them to go build the devil's kingdom. And so there's an expediency that comes along with being involved with what is near and dear to the heart of God. It provides personal blessings and it also promotes positive behavior. Notice he says in verse number 10, it's expedient for you who have begun before not only to do. Now notice when he says not only to do, he's implying here very clearly that that individual is doing something. So notice he said it's a given that when you, because of the expediency, not only to do, don't miss the fact that when he says not only to do, he's already assuming that you are doing. So that is why individuals who have missions at their heart, they're looking for more things to be involved in, more things to give to. They're busy about the master's business. And that is why when missions touches your heart, there's a possibility that God will ultimately use that individual in his work in a full-time capacity. And even if not, that individual is still busy about the work of God. It promotes positive behavior and then it prioritizes our purpose for being. Notice he says, not only to do, which is a given, but also to be forward a year ago. What he's saying here, he's saying that these individuals want to be involved, want to get engaged. Why? Because this thing of serving God and seeing people one, it's at the center and the thrust of everything. It's an all-consuming passion. It's not one of those things on the side. It's the main thing. It is the main course. You know, when you go to a restaurant and you order something, you have the main dish, and then you say you have some sides, right? When it comes to this thing of main, and some of you are chuckling, let's keep it in relation to going to the restaurant. Amen? It's quite appropriate there. When it comes to this thing of serving God, this thing of worldwide evangelization ought to be at the center of everything we do. You know why it works? Because when you go on the job, even though you're there to get your salary at the end of the week and to pay your bills, you understand that my purpose for being here is more than just making money. I'm here to be a light and testimony and salt to those around me, to see them one with the gospel. That's why when we make the main thing, everything else surrounds our purpose for being here on planet Earth. Understand that we are just passing through. And while we are here, we must make an impact on those around us, whether it is in our home, in our schools, in our workplace, in our church. And so the Apostle Paul says, listen, this prioritizes our reason for existing. So to our young people, as you go back to school, see your classroom as a mission field. Because when you see it as such, as I mentioned, it will promote positive behavior. I can't act the fool. I have to represent the Lord Jesus Christ so that when I go and speak to them, they're not shocked that I'm saying that I'm a Christian. And my testimony can be an effective tool in seeing them one to the Lord. Notice here finally in verses 11 and 12 what I call the empowerment. The empowerment. See, when God touches a heart and he moves in a life willing to be involved in what is near to his heart, God empowers you and empowers me to make it happen. Notice verse number 11. He says, now therefore perform the, what? Doing of it. When God touches your heart, ultimately it has to result in diligence that leads to action. You know, if everything that we do only touches our heart and doesn't lead to action, you have to conclude that it was mere emotion. And that is why oftentimes we can get very emotional. I challenge our choir all the time. Don't get just worked up because of an emotional song, an emotional beat. And maybe the emotion was real. I mean, maybe oftentimes it's something that you're going through at the very same time. You realize that even for, you know, you're listening to a song and a song hits you differently, touches you differently based on what is happening to you right at that very moment. Why? Because you can identify with it. But guess what? The message is the same whether you're going through it at the same time. And so if it is only based on emotion, then oftentimes that does not translate to action. But that's where empowerment comes in. It's easy to get inspired by a message. It's easy to be motivated by a song. But if ultimately that has to lead to a change, an action, this diligence in action, which also results in a determined attitude. Notice in verse number 12, it says, for if there first be a willing mind, you have to be willing, determined. As we sung tonight, I'm going with Jesus, what? All the way. What's the next few words? You can't stop me. You won't turn me. That's some determination. You know why there's some times and circumstances in life that some things can get you a little discouraged that you might feel like you want to stop. But your determination and your willing mind has to say, listen, this will not stop me. It will not turn me. And by the way, there's some individuals who are out to stop you. They are out to turn you. They have to be a determined attitude. And then notice the dependence on the Almighty. This is the great thing about this thing called the work of God, that because it is not ultimately accomplished in human strength, but because it taps into the power of God, we can be more than conquerors. You see, if what we're engaged in was based on whether we have the strength, we have the power, and we have the mental fortitude and the determination, the times we reach our limit. But when we get to our limit, guess what? That's not the extent of our ability, because we can tap into and plug into and should be plugged into a greater power, the power of God. Notice in the latter part of verse number 12, he says, if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. In other words, God knows our limitations. God knows where we are. God knows what we have and what we don't have. But guess what? After we yield to God, that which we have, he does his part. And when God does his part, it is more than enough. And so there is always, when it comes to this matter of empowerment, a dependence on the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful God who's able to do above and beyond all that we can ask or think. It just begins with a willing mind, a willing heart, a desire to say, God, I want you to use me in a special way to accomplish what you desire, to fulfill what is near and dear to your heart. This matter of missions, I tell you, it is life-changing. It puts everything into focus, because when you keep the main thing, everything else falls into place. Thank God for his demonstration of love on Calvary's cross. Let the love of God for you motivate you to love him more.